Now, I share with that little detail for us this morning because I believe what this isn't just a regular conversation. Jesus is launching Nicodemus. And he wants to launch you too with what he has to say here in this text. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. This is a unique kind of love. Nicodemus had never experienced this kind of love before. We actually haven't either. It's very rare. And the way that I like to share this kind of love is to get us all thinking about that moment, if you've experienced it or maybe you've witnessed this before, the moment when someone is a parent and they're holding their newborn child for the very first time. Recall that moment. I can remember holding all my kids, Miles, Claire, Kaya. And what I remember about that moment is how utterly helpless the kids were. They couldn't give me anything. They couldn't give me any money. They couldn't give me any, they didn't have any skills to kind of entertain me. They didn't come out of the womb with a gift to give for giving them life. But on the other hand, my love for them was intense. I'd be willing to get up at any hour of the night so that they're satisfied. I'd be willing to shift the furniture around in the living room. I'd never want to do that at any other time. But see, the intensity of the love that a parent has for the child, the parent's willing to love even though the child can't return any kind of love. Now, you'll hear by many people, someone coined the phrase that you should never love someone who can't love you back. That's good advice. That's the way the world lives, isn't it? Because that way you're not disappointed, that way you're not, your expectations aren't too high, that sort of thing. That way you're not frustrated in life. But John 3:16 says that God does not operate that way. God's love for you is like a parent to a newborn child. God loves you regardless of whether the love will be returned. That was powerful for Nicodemus to hear. It launched him in a whole new way. And so it is for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But who is this love for? How can we know that it's for us? The text says, for God so loved the world. That's actually a big surprise. You see, in John's gospel particularly, that word world, cosmos in the Greek, it's negative oftentimes. So here's some examples. John chapter 1 verse 10 says, even though the creation was created through him, the world did not recognize him. Or John chapter 7, Jesus says, the world cannot hate you, he's talking to his followers, but it hated me first. John chapter 8 says, I am not of this world. So again, the word world is negative almost all the time in John's gospel. So this is shocking here. That it says that God loves the world, everything. When we look out in the world, we would probably agree there's a lot of corruption, there's a lot of darkness, there's a lot of coldness, there's a lot of violence. It's not a great place. In fact, I think if we were rewriting John 3:16, if we were honest, we would qualify God's love. We'd say something like this. For God so loved the Beaver fans. Or for God so loved the Oregon Ducks. Oh, this one's going to hurt. Oh, for God so loved the Democrats. For God so loved the Republicans. False teaching. For God so loved the sober. For God so loved Americans. For God so loved Africans. For God so loved the old. For God so loved the young. You see what I'm doing. We like to qualify love. What a mistake. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21 says this about the love of Christ. Oh, to, it is a prayer. Oh, to grasp the height, the depth, the width, the length of the love of Christ. We like to qualify love, but you see, John 3:16 says, don't qualify. God gives no qualifications. His love is for the world, everything. That rocked Nicodemus. Remember, he was the teacher of all of Israel. He probably thought God's love was just for Israel or for just a specific group of individuals. For God so loved the world. How can we know that this love is actually for us? You know, the scriptures say that we are off. Isaiah chapter 50, here's some examples. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, each one of us like sheep has gone, what does it say? Astray, very good. Romans 5 verse 6 says this, we all are living against God, the preposition says. Romans chapter 5 verse 10 says it even more boldly. You can look it up. It says that we are enemies of God. Isn't that a harsh statement? That we're enemies of God? But if you ever have done something willfully against what God clearly teaches, we are enemies. We might come to the thought that, you know, I'm not that bad. My neighbor across the street, what he did was far worse last year. We compare.